It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Well, if you remember from yesterday, we saw that David is now officially on the run. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 19 through 29. Yesterday, we saw how Jonathan had sought David out to give him encouragement and to exhort him to hold on and to keep going and finish the race that he started. And today, we're going to see some more complications that come in. So, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 19 through 29. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Haklia, which is south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go make yet more sure, know and see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he is very cunning. See, therefore, and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you, and if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." And they rose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah, to the south of Jeshimon. And Saul and his men went to seek him. And David was told, so he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. And Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them. A messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land." So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore, that place was called the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Well, the Ziphites go to Saul and they offer to capture David for Saul. When I read about things like this, I have to remind myself that at this point, the Ziphites probably didn't have all the information. They knew their king was chasing David, and they had no idea that David had done nothing wrong and shouldn't be being chased. They thought they were helping the king, God's anointed one. Saul, of course, is thrilled beyond belief at the help from these people. He gives them further instructions on how they can best help him capture David and then sends them on their way. Saul, however, wants to be the one to make the kill. He's more than willing to accept help tracking and cornering David, but he wants to deliver the final blow. David hears about Saul's pursuit, and he and his men hit the road again. Saul hears where David is at and heads toward David. Now, this could have been the final showdown between Saul and David. David was trapped. He had nowhere to go. He was on one side of a mountain, and Saul was on the other side, and he was about to capture David. However, remember who is in control here. It isn't Saul, and it isn't David. It's God. He is in control, and he won't let any harm come to David. Just as Saul is closing in, a messenger arrives to let Saul know that the Philistines have taken advantage of his distraction over David, and they have attacked Israel. Saul has to make a choice, continue the pursuit of David, or fight his real enemy and retain his kingdom. Saul chooses to retain his kingdom. The place where he makes this choice is then named Rock of Parting, or Rock of Escape, or Sela Hamelechoth. Saul departs and goes to fight his enemies, and David escapes and goes and lives in the strongholds of En-Gedi. It's no coincidence that this event should happen right after Jonathan came and encouraged David to trust in God. Suddenly, Saul gets the closest he's gotten to actually capturing David. And who saves David? God does. God shows David that indeed trusting in him is the best course of action. Jonathan's message that encouraged David is now reinforced, and David's eyes are replanted even more firmly on God for his protection and guidance. As we see David wander from place to place, trying to stay one step ahead of Saul, I'm reminded of the situation he actually found himself in. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a roof over his head. He didn't have a bed or a comfortable, safe place to be. Truly, this reminds me of what Jesus said about himself in Matthew 8:20. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus also went from place to place, not being chased by a king, but being pursued as a king, and he too had no place to lay his head. At this point, too, David actually wrote a psalm. It's Psalm 54. It's short, so I'm going to take a moment to read that so we can see what David was thinking about as he fled from Saul. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. David calls out to God to save him, not by his own power or might, but by God's. He shares his hurt and anger over the people of Ziph and their betrayal of him, seeking his life and turning away from God. But here's the awesome part to me. David doesn't stay in that spot, wallowing in what is happening to him or in what had happened to him. He knows who his helper is, the one who upholds his life. He seeks the Lord, the one who is good. He knows that God has already delivered him from every trouble, and he has faith that God will rescue him from this situation too. He knows who, at the end of the day, will be delivered, and he clings to that knowledge. That knowledge, by the way, isn't based on David's opinion of himself, but in his thirst for God and in watching how God has worked in his life, all throughout his life, up to this point. He isn't trusting in himself. He's trusting in God. God rescued David at the 11th hour here. David had to continue to try to evade Saul, but then, when there was no hope, by human standards, to be found, God provided the rescue. God used the Philistines to draw Saul away from David. The Philistines were pursuing their own ends. They didn't serve God or seek his will, but we see God's plan and purpose met through that pagan nation in this passage today. The Philistines unknowingly provided for David's health and safety. My question for us to ponder today is this. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Have you ever been encouraged by someone or something to give it all to God, to trust in him and see where he leads, and suddenly things seem worse? But if you hang in there, suddenly you can see God's glory and might showing right through. God loves a good show. Just look at the sunrise. God loves to display his majesty for us. And just when things seem darkest, if we'll let him have control, he will show us how bright things can be. What an amazing gift. If you're in a place in your life right now where you are seeing darkness, I pray this will be a light to you. I pray that this will be your Jonathan encouraging you to look to God and trust in him. Things may seem darker at first. They sure seem more perilous for David, but don't let go of God's hand. Close your eyes and let him lead you through the dark, instead of trusting your own eyes and pulling against his hand. He is there to lead you through to the light again. Just strive to keep yourself focused on him. Remember, too, don't fear anyone who can injure the flesh. This world is fading away, and none of us will get out of it alive. But when your focus is on God, on His glory, on His sovereignty, His will, and on following Him, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense. Know that He is taking care of you. It may not be material blessings that you'll end up with, but no matter your circumstances, when your focus is on Him, it can still be well with your soul.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.